song was hand-picked to start this hour of the show by Danny Stimpson from the Fit Mindset Code. We've got to say thank you for picking such a great song. You should pop in more often.
It's a tune, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And he was fabulous.
Yeah.
You've got to tell that story you just told.
My son, yeah. My son Jacob, when he was at Platform One, all the lads that were in Platform One got to do the sort of the green room and all the sort of rider running for backstage at the Isle of Wight Festival one year. And he texted me one evening and he said, "I'm really sorry, Dad, but I've just knocked over the mod father. I know he's one of your heroes and I've covered him in cheese, onion, crisps." So because he ran out of a room because he was late with some of the stuff, that it was some jelly beans or something for Weston, and he came around the corner and knocked Paul Weller flying. So
all right.
But Paul Weller was very good about it. He said, "No, don't worry, it's all right. It happens."
And where was that?
That was in the Premier Inn backstage at the Isle of Wight Festival.
So. That's why he was miserable on stage.
Probably, yeah.
Because my wife, we went.
Did he have crisps in his hair?
We went and my wife said, "He's really, really good, but you're half miserable looking out there, isn't he?" That's because someone just chucked a load of crisps over him. What a story that is.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Good story, I like
that. Yeah.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you.
And it's been a month,
yep.
And we should obviously recap what the Fit Mindset Code is.
Yep, the Fit Mindset Code is a small business set up to help people change where they are to where they want to go, whether that's changing mindset or changing weight or shape or their physical condition. So I basically help people through nutrition and mindset processes to make them a better version of themselves, as the adage goes.
Brilliant. And we've got a song that captures that at some point.
Which was a little bit ironic because it came onto my Spotify as I jumped into my van and my truck today to drive up here. It came on and I thought, ooh, that's a message from somebody.
Well, we've got to play it then a little bit later on. I'm going to bring in Connor at this point because obviously we're going to recap what it's been like for me. But Connor's in. He's I think he's 16, aren't you, Connor?
Yes, I'm 16.
And my question is, is there a time too young to be like conscious of, you know, the Fit Mindset Code?
No, I think most of the processes that I sort of I preach, because I do preach it quite a lot, I think everybody should use, because they're just good practices for life, basically good habit forming, making sure that you're got a diverse life, that you have a good balanced healthy outlook, and that includes your diet and your nutrition and your exercise and those sort of things. But from a being very strict and sort of having a regime with regard to your weight and those sort of things, I would say that at 16 you want to be a little bit more relaxed about it, but just be conscious that, you know, having a good healthy balanced diet is a good platform for as you move into your sort of 20s.
So to be fair, you don't have to go mad, Connor, but you just have to be aware. And, you know, if you need to make some alterations or you need to take it further, then do. But don't be too sort of beat up on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just relax a bit. Because, I mean, at 16, you're still growing. So,
true.
You know, everybody's, bodies change when they're sort of, you know, especially for young men, 18 to sort of 21. I was a late developer. So at 18, I was still quite a teenager. But, my full development didn't probably come until my early 20s. So we're all different. And just don't get stressed about it. If you want McDonald's, have a McDonald's.
Or you can have something else. It's, you know, they're all available.
Yes,
there,
right? other fast food outlets are available on the high street, yeah.
Do you have, because half the time we've been talking about habits in the last 6 months, do you have any bad habits when it comes down to food?
I actually don't know. When I was younger, I used to be quite chunky. Well, it's because I didn't know how much calories were in the food at the time. When I was younger, very chunky. And then I had this weird addiction of the nutrition labels back of the foods.
I have that as well.
And ever since then, I went from chunky to quite thin. But quite recently, I've been getting a belly once again. Yeah,
but the good thing is you're actually growing as well, because you've got quite considerably taller.
Yeah, so. I have got quite
So I don't think that there's too much to worry about there. But habits are good to look at.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have said that six months ago. I wouldn't have said that at all. Habits. Job. I've only got good habits. Yeah. So do you have, just say for instance, we mentioned fast food then. Do you have much fast food? Do you go out and like have a, you know, burgers, chips and chicken from the chickeny place?
The last time I had like a proper, takeaway, I think it was yesterday. There's a local chip shop in my area where I live.
Yeah.
Aussies, a fish and chips place.
Other places are available.
he does do good chips.
Other good places with chips that are good are available as well. Come on, you two, you know the rules.
We're not playing the game. But I would just one thing that I think is quite interesting is that you at 16 already know the back of the packet will give you a lot of the key information that you need to make an informed decision, and then it's about you making a decision whether those calories are worth it or not. That's the way I look at food. Are those calories worth it? My wife always has a catchphrase when she eats something that she shouldn't. She went, yeah, calories are worth that. So that's what you need to do. The mindset needs to be know what you're eating, know what you're consuming from a numbers perspective, and then make an informed decision, and then you'll decide.
Yeah.
Do you walk much?
I walk to the shop and back a few times a day, but sometimes I do walk into town to get a few bits, and I do walk a lot.
Okay.
Other shops are available.
I do walk into town a few times to get some other bits that I can't get from the shop.
Right. So you do walk on a regular basis?
Yeah, I do walk a regular basis.
Because that's one of the things, I was not aware of how much I didn't walk. And now I'm very much aware of how much we do walk, and I'm sort of aware of what do they call it, BPM and stuff like that now, and I'm taking it seriously.
You're taking it. It's good. I always promote a kind of a balanced approach to your holistic health. So it's not just one aspect of the the situation will fix the problem. You need to make sure that you exercise, that you eat proper balanced food, you get good sleep, and you have a well-rounded balanced view to life in general, and then you're much better place to be in a better place mentally and physically.
You're absolutely right, and I say we'll recap on me in a moment. But what is lovely is that we've both got sons roughly the same age. My son's 24.
Mine's 27. Yeah,
27. But he's he had this thing where my wife would do veg all the time. And obviously meat as well. But that's been the veg thing. Was I mean, first of all, he would push the veg to one side. Didn't really want to eat that. But now he's just moved into his new house. And there he is. He's got FaceTime, and he's doing some cooking. And the amount of veg that he has on his plate is brilliant.
Yeah,
and it's just lovely to see. And you know that he's going to be super fit, and that's the habit's already there.
Yeah.
And he won't have to make too much of an alteration later on in life. Yeah, he'll have to tinker with it, I'm sure. But do you eat lots of veg?
I had carrots earlier. That's classified as veg.
I saw them. I can testify to the carrots.
Yeah.
He must have known you were coming. I'll eat these because that'll put me in Danny's good books.
Yeah. I had a jacket potato of salad the other day, which was quite nice. Bit of lettuce, tomato, carrots, other bits as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you are conscious of it then, and do you enjoy it though?
It's not the best thing in the world, because most of the time, salad, sometimes, if I don't eat it quick enough, the lettuce turns to go soggy instead of crispy.
How long are you waiting?
Yeah, you do eat it slow.
No, as in...
It's probably about a week.
Yeah.
Instead of reading the back labels, read the front labels. It's got a date on there when you're supposed to eat it.
True.
That would be a good thing.
Yeah, but good that you're eating salad, though. That's
a good thing.
Even if you don't like it, eat it. Yeah, that's my advice. Because it's good for you.
I must admit, we had some salad yesterday with something, and I didn't want to ruin the something, so I ate the salad first with no dressing, and I thought, right, we've got a treat now. They've got that out of the way, and now we can eat the proper meal now. But then it's what you make of it. You can put stuff on it to make it more interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Salad for me is one of my staples. Pretty much every day I have a nice green salad with olives and
olives. You know,
feta cheese and that sort of thing. I eat olives all day long.
Oh, do you know what? I had a big jar of olives a couple of weeks ago, and you had 2 weeks to eat them, and I got to the final day, and I thought, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take all of these out, and I'm just going to put them in the blender with some onion and a few, I think it was some lettuce and tomato as well. And I ate that on its own with a little bit of a drizzle of whatever it was, some kind of, it was like a vinegar, like one of those vinaigrette things. And it was lovely.
Balsamic one.
Yes, one of those. Very one of those, nice, see, all technical one.
Balsamic vinegar, olives and salad is.
And it was lovely.
One of my favourites.
I'm not really a fan of olives. I've tried some on a pizza. My worst decision I've ever had in my life. Yeah, because I'm not a fan of them.
It was going so well until that point, wasn't it?
Yeah, pizza.
Well, that was ages ago. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. All right, let's recap then. So 6 months, you came in. 6 months ago, you came in and I said, look, work with me. Knowing full well that I've got bad habits.
Yeah.
I drank too much alcohol.
Yeah. Too much sugar.
Way too much sugar.
You don't like the taste of coffee.
And yeah, all right. and so many other habits as well. And from that, you said...
Well, I like bad habits. That's the first thing. Because if you've got bad habits, you have the capacity for forming good habits. So that's a positive, first of all. Now, when we first spoke about going through the process, I know you were probably resistance, probably a strong word, but you were a little bit skeptical on it. And I could tell, first of all, you kind of thought, well, yeah, I don't want to give this up. I don't want to give that up. My life's going to be a little bit dull and boring and that sort of thing. So you didn't really see the positives for you having to change your lifestyle from a nutritional point of view. But now I see that you're, you know, become a complete convert to it, and your decision making based around, you know, whether things are fitting your nutritional plan is really, really positive. You know, all the conversations we have about you telling me what you're eating, how much you're eating, you know, what's coming up in your social diary, which means you're making adjustments for being able to do that sort of thing. So you've really taken on board pretty much everything that I've taught you, if we can call it teaching. I don't know, we just had conversations with you, didn't we? So
But it's great, and I can't thank you enough, because it's opened my eyes.
Slowly over the process, over the sort of like six episodes that we've done, you've slowly become more and more a convert to the change in mindset, because that's what it is. It's a change in mindset, and everything else then follows from that.
And you can still have pizza, Connor.
You can.
Because now and again, I do have, you know, my wife will get a pizza and bring it home, and I think, yeah, I'm enjoying this.
If it fits your macros, you can have it,
Absolutely. And you just have to make up somewhere else, don't you?
It's
as simple as that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was... Do you have tea or coffee, Connor?
I'm not
offering to make one, by the way.
I don't have tea or coffee often. I have tea on occasions.
Yeah.
But it's not really an often drink. I just stick with water most of the time.
Right, okay.
If you had
a cup of tea or coffee, did you have sugar in it?
I think I have about two sugars.
Two sugars?
Yeah, my brother goes for about five or six.
Whoa, you ought to have a word with him.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. That's way too much. Well, I was only having two coffees a day, but I was having three spoons of sugar in these coffees. So six spoons sugar a day. And you add that up on a weekly basis and then a monthly basis, that's a lot of sugar.
It's a lot of sugar.
A whole load of sugar. And I've cut that out, and I'm on the sweeteners still. I'm still on three sweeteners. With that over a period of time, you know, is that a bad thing or a good thing?
No, I think the sweetness has just replaced your craving for sugar.
Yeah.
And then you can decide whether you sort of wean yourself off the sweeteners. I'd say they're lesser of the two. That would, especially when you're looking at weight loss, because they don't have a calorie aspect to them.
You know? I reckon I'll be able to drop down and probably get rid of at some point. The reason why I say that is because wife brought me up a coffee the other day, started drinking it, thinking, is there sugar in this? And I wasn't actually sure, or any sweeteners in it.
Yeah, that's positive.
I'm not actually sure. And I thought, oh, do you know what, I can't be bothered to go downstairs and see, you know, and ask the question, I'll just drink it.
Yeah.
And I drank it, and then she said, oh, I might not have put any sweeteners in you. And then I thought, well, actually, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, I shall, in the near future, start reducing the amount of sweeteners that I take as well, because it can only be a positive thing.
Yeah, and if you think about it logically, all you're doing is changing something taste wise it's another drink. You've got a drink with a sweetener in it,
yeah,
and a drink without the sweetener in it. They taste different. They're two different tasting drinks. That's all they are. It's not coffee with or coffee without. I don't take it with a, you know, I like the taste of coffee without sugar and without sweeteners. I also quite like it with, you know. It's just a different taste.
It makes sense. Do you know what? I've probably made three or four major things, changes. One of them is the sugar. The second one is bread.
Right.
The bread that I'm currently eating is a sour bread.
Sour bread, yeah.
And that's got limited amounts of what's the stuff that you don't want in it. It's got a limited amount of stuff in it. Sorry, I'm getting phone calls from people phoning me. And the sour bread has got less of something in, less salt, less of everything,
right,
and it's better for you.
Yeah.
I only eat that sour bread now.
Is it less calories in the same size slice of bread? There's less calories in it, and that's the key one, because it's weight loss, if that's what you're looking for as the primary outcome for you know, the change you want to make, then it's calories in versus calories out. So it's how much you're consuming versus how much you're burning.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter what food types you make up that number. Your body just has the energy and it will use it accordingly. If you don't give it enough energy, it will use your body fat for energy. If you give it too much, it will start storing that energy as body fat. That's the process. So losing weight and being healthy are mutually exclusive. They don't have to be the same process. You can eat very, very healthily and gain weight, and you can eat very unhealthily and lose weight. The decision is yours based on what food types you want to make up your nutritional plan for your lifestyle. Eat things you like, and make sure they're below your caloric needs, then you'll lose weight.
Okay. Bread, made a change. Sugar, made a change. Alcohol's
a big one. Yeah, that was the, I think alcohol was the one I thought actually I was going to have the most resistance, and because you were, it really was not just the fact you like alcohol. It was a social thing. It was a habit thing. It was a relationship thing with your wife. You know, this is what we do on a Friday. This is what we do on a Saturday. This is how much we have on a Sunday. And so I thought that was going to be the biggest resistor with regard to you making a change. And fair play to you. Well done, because you've broken that habit. You've changed your complete view on alcohol consumption and whether it's worth it or not. But you still enjoy a drink.
Yeah, every now and again, it's a case of, we had too many tonight, you know, but very rarely.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's very, we kind of, you know, had that thing of starting at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And now we say, let's just delay it by an hour. We're up for the same amount of time, but delay it by an hour. And what we do is we always have, we used to have Monday to Thursday, we'd have this drink where I would crush lemons and freeze the juice and then put that in water, and that would be our drink with ginger.
Yeah.
And now we would have that on Saturday and Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday as well.
Right.
And that would be the drink that we have at 7 o'clock. So we've substituted that. But then what we generally have is an alcoholic dandelion and burdock.
Right. Yeah.
I can highly recommend it. It's only about 4%, but it's really nice. Right. We might have a lager as well. And you know, that's basically it.
Yeah.
And it's done us the power of good. Yeah, and we're sleeping better as well.
Yeah, let's say you're sleeping better, you've lost weight, you look healthier, and that's just a reduction in the amount of alcohol you're consuming. You haven't given alcohol up, you know. So that's the positive, and that's how the system can work. If you understand how the mechanism works, then you can use it to your advantage. You can lose weight and still feel good and sleep well, but not actually chuck out all the things in your life which you love, because, you know, it's not a punishment, it's a lifestyle. And if you do something which punishes you, you'll only do it for a short period of time and then you'll stop. It has to be something that slowly becomes a habit, and then it becomes, you know, your lifestyle. And that's the way that it is. And now you're on the road to, you know, being a lot healthier. Probably all your health markers, if you've got your bloods done again, will probably be in a better position. Your liver function, kidney function, you know, your blood glucose levels, your cholesterol, all those sort of things are probably on the much more positive and healthier side. And all you've done is made a change. You haven't got rid of it. You know, yeah, that's the key.
The lovely thing is, Connor, is that I made the changes, but they've worked for me.
Yeah.
But they haven't been, you know, you haven't like gone, oh, Christ. I did for the sugar thing for about a month, 6 weeks. It took me a bit of time to get used to. But the alcohol thing was very easy to get used to. The bread thing, no problem at all. It just tastes like the same as any other bread, only it's lighter. Because you can actually, when you see it.
That's what you were. It doesn't have so much yeast in it.
Is that what it is? Yeah. But it's lighter. Yeah. And you just think, you know that you're still enjoying it. That's the thing.
Exactly, yeah.
And so it's not like, okay, gaming's bad for you, Connor, and you've got to cut it out completely or you know, whittle it down to X amount of hours.
Yeah.
That might hurt.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing recently. I have been cutting down the hours on the PlayStation so I can escape and do other bits. Because Mum did suggest that I was on it a bit regularly, so I was trying to cut some of it out.
Your mum's a very sensible woman.
She is a very sensible woman.
What's lovely about that, though, is you've taken to it,
yeah,
and you do it, and you, now you're aware of it, which is like comes back to the original question about, you know, can you be too young? Definitely not be too young. You don't have to worry about it too much, but if you start forming those habits in your head now and being aware of it.
The habit forming bit is the important bit, and not to get too bound up in the kind of all the detail. But form good habits. It's a bit like watching TV. When you've finished work, sit down and watch TV for 5 hours, and then go to bed, and you've had a nice relaxing evening. You could have sat down and watched 1 hour of TV, gone to the gym for 2 hours, watched another couple of hours of TV, and then actually done something positive for your health, and still got to bed, you know, reasonably satisfied that you've had a relaxing evening.
Last time you came in, I had a dodgy knee.
Yep.
I've worked on that. And now, you know, it's not a problem. We're out and about and walking, not further, longer, but what we've decided to do is walk a bit more brisker.
Right, yep.
So we're
get
putting
it up.
Yeah. And what's lovely is that you get this thing, you know, we've got these contraptions that tell you that your heart rate's up to 100 BPMs or whatever. Yep. Normally it's like 60.
Yeah.
And you think that's a good thing.
Yep.
So I'm more aware of that and I'm positive about that. And the knee thing is not so much of an issue now. And I'm getting to the point now where I can get in, I can leave the front door and I can jog to a certain distance without being, you know, huffing and puffing, and every day I kind of, you know, 10 yards more or another street more or so on and so forth before you get to that point where you think, no, I just, because you don't want to be like getting to work and doing all of that. You want to be still feeling comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just dawned on me that I can run a little bit further without being out of breath.
Yeah, they're all just it's little tiny building blocks. Everything is just a little step, one step in front of the other. You know, what's the old adage? How do you move the mountain? You pick up one rock at a time and you move it. You know, every mountain is just made of rocks. So just pick up a rock and move it. And eventually you will move that mountain. You know, and health and fitness is exactly the same thing. Pick up a rock and move it. And then you're one step closer to moving what you want to move to where you want it to be.
Ah, brilliant. Simple as that. Good stuff. Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. I was going to tell you about what, because obviously I was over 13 and a half stone.
Yeah.
And I'm now down to 12, 11.
Yep.
You know, and I still feel as I've got a little bit to go.
Yeah.
And I still like to be 12.7. 12.7, I'd be happy with.
Okay.
Because I could think my clothes would still fit me. They might look like I've been ill recently, but they'll still fit me, which is what I'm going for.
You don't, I tell you what, you look very healthy, actually.
I feel it.
Yeah, you in your face, you look like, you know, you've got a good colour in your face.
Well, it's funny you should
say
that.
Midway through, sort of after sort of, you know, episode three, you were looking a little bit pasty. And even though you were losing a bit of the body weight, your body hadn't adjusted to the system. So and now you look very healthy for it.
See, I think you're right. And the more it goes on, the more things I'm noticing. Last time I mentioned about the taste.
Yeah.
You know, the taste of things. I was kind of... tasting coffee, obviously, because there's no sugar in it and so on. And there was something else that I said about the taste as well. Is that right? It was just enhanced. You tasted it. And, you know, the sleep pattern is better. I didn't have a very good night's sleep last night. But you say I look better in the face. I've actually just had a tooth out, and that was out last week, and it was this side, and it was like, it was a killer. And that's the reason why I haven't slept very much.
Right, yeah.
You know, okay. And I'm just thinking... How would it have been if I hadn't have gone through this? Would I have coped worse? You know, because I've coped fairly well.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I don't want to tempt fate, but I used to get a lot of cold sores.
Right.
I've had not one in 6 months.
Your whole internal system, which, you know, gives you your holistic health, is probably in a better position. You know, all your you know, like your liver and your kidney and your pancreas and your stomach and all those sort of aspects inside your body which are affected by your diet are probably under a lot of less pressure because you're not consuming, one, so much alcohol and, two, so much sugar.
Yeah.
And they're getting a much wider, you know, spectrum of flavours, tastes, nutrients, macronutrients and micronutrients, and you become healthier. That's why a healthy, balanced diet is good for you.
Yeah, no, I honestly didn't believe you at the beginning.
Many people know, but your skin is a byproduct of what you eat. After about 8 months, what you've eaten actually gives, you know, creates what your skin is. You know, you lose your skin after a period of time, and it is literally a byproduct of what you've been 8 months ago is what your skin is.
Right. Okay.
So you are what you eat. Exactly that, with that terminology. So if you're eating good, healthy, balanced food, your hydration is good, so you're drinking a lot of water, your food groups are a good mix, so you're getting your fruits and your vegetables and all your macro micronutrients in a balanced setup, then literally outward you will be health and, you know, looking as if you're in a better place health-wise.
Yeah, no, I certainly feel it. I really do. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a classic track that you've picked.
All right? Yes.
So stay tuned. It's another brilliant track.
Vetis Radio. FM 104.6. Isle of Wight's community station.
Willie's Guitar Shop is a stylish guitar boutique in Cowes on the Isle of Wight. We are a small, friendly, family-owned business and sell quality vintage and pre-owned guitars. Also, accessories, strings, leads and books. In addition, we provide guitar repairs, setups, restrings and goodsons. We pride ourselves on our expertise and first-class customer service. You are more than welcome to pop in for a chat. We're situated at number 12 Shooters Hill in Cowes. For more details, visit our Facebook page, Willie's Guitar Shop, or telephone 01983 2426. 80. Most excellent!
For 25 years, we have provided friendly, professional IT support to businesses, public sector, and private clients across the island. Our team of 20 IT professionals have over 325 years of accumulated experience. We are award-winning and give our customers peace of mind, which is why 99.1% of them rate the service we provide as excellent. We are the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy, and support. Who are we? We are PC Consultants. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
Reading Roman Villa, more than just an award-winning museum, the eco-friendly building provides free access to a cafe that has stunning views of the whole of Sandown Bay, acres of free parking and plenty of space for children to play safely in the tranquil setting that's hardly changed since the Romans lived here. Come and try Ben's lunches and Nikki's cakes, all homemade and delicious. The friends of Brading Roman Villa provide visitors with a free introduction to the villa's history and delight in answering people's questions. Brading Roman Villa open every day, 10 till 4. Come and treat yourself anytime.
Are you between 11 and 19 years old? Do you hold a gateway card from the Isle of Wight Council? Would you like to learn about radio in the fun and energetic setting of a live radio station? Then the four-piece short break Saturday morning course is for you. For just £5 per session, you'll learn how to present, promote, produce and podcast radio shows. And you'll even get on airline. To book or for more details, email contact to vectisradio.fm or go to 4ps.org.uk. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? Whoa! Can you see the real me, doctor? Can you see the real me,
boy? There we are. That's The Who, and that's taken from a special film, which is, again...
Quadrophenia.
Yeah, and you're a big fan, obviously.
I was a big Quadrophenia fan, yeah, when it first came out, and I was a bit of a mod back in the day. I literally put my Spotify tunes on in my truck today, and this one came on, the first one, and I thought, well, that's probably a sign, isn't it? Can you see the real me? Yeah.
Brilliant track, loved it.
Yeah, absolute tune, isn't it?
And it's 40 years old.
Yeah. 40 years old, the film, yeah, I couldn't believe it, yeah. It's crazy.
I saw some of the people that were in the film as they look now, and if they'd have gone on the Fit Mindset Code, they wouldn't have looked as bad as they do now. Some looked all right.
Some look, yeah. Leslie Ash, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll leave it there. Leslie Ash was in Quadrophenia.
She was stunning.
Yeah. And Toya as well. But
she still looks fabulous.
Toya looks exactly the same as what she did when she was back in the 80s on stage.
Yeah. And it was the little fellow that you should cut down on your pool life, mate.
Get some exercise. Yeah. Park Life. I know all the words to Park Life as well. Yeah,
that's great song.
It's one of my favourite songs as well. Yeah, Daniel. Jeff Daniels.
He looks well.
Yeah, we should have done Park Life. That should have been the tune, shouldn't it?
Next time.
Yeah, next time. Yeah.
Come in at this December time and recap. You know, that would be great.
Yeah.
That would be really, really good. So we should do some myths, because you've got this saying that I really like, and it's, you know...
Fat doesn't make you fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it shocks a lot of people. There was a thing in the paper yesterday about bacon being healthy. But I think what people have misunderstood is that what they were saying is that consuming fat and good healthy dietary fats is not bad for you. It's actually quite good for you. You need fat in your diet to have a balanced hormonal setup. You know, to keep all your hormones in balance, you have to have fats in your diet. And cutting them out is actually bad for you. And I think in the press they got the wrong end of the stick, saying that, you know, the headline was bacon's actually good for you. Well, bacon consumed more than you need will actually add on weight, exactly the same as anything else. But fat doesn't actually make you fat. Dietary fats don't actually go straight to becoming belly fat. Your body fat and your belly fat is actually a process that your body goes through when it's got too many calories. It doesn't matter what the calories are made of, whether it's made of any of your macros, whether it's your carbohydrates, whether it's your proteins or your fats. If you're eating too much, your body will turn it into body fat. Dietary fat is not instantly turned to body fat. It has to go through a process, and I won't get into the science of it, but it has to go through a process. And it's easier for your body to use your own body fat for energy than it is for it to use dietary fat for energy, because the dietary fat has to be turned into energy. So if you're eating a lot of dietary fat and not a lot of carbohydrate, which is the first energy source your body will use, sugar, then your body will use your body fat first for energy. It's called getting into ketosis, which is the only process by which you can lose body fat, which is your body using it because it doesn't have enough sugar to be able to sustain the energy levels that it needs instantly. Fat doesn't make you fat. Overeating makes you fat.
All right. That to me makes perfect sense, and something that I have been conscious of. When you have your tea or when you have a meal, Connor, do you feel like, oh, I feel bloated, I shouldn't have eaten all of that? Is that a good feeling? Because I must admit, you know, I know when I've eaten.
Yeah.
And I know when I've eaten too much, and I'm now more aware of it. and I'm now in a situation where, especially if you go out and you bought and you paid for something, you want to eat it all. But you know, maybe we should stop. And I do now when I get to that point where, do you know what? Well, enough now. I feel fine.
Your stomach empty, and then it being full roughly is about the size of your clenched fist. So an average man's clenched fist is the size of your stomach. So if you were to squash up your food, could you get into the size that your fist would fit into? Could you fit it into one of your gloves, basically? so when you're actually eating more than your own clenched fist, now if you're blessed with huge hands, then you can probably eat more. But if you're an average man, that's how big your stomach is. Now it will stretch a bit, obviously, when you're consuming food. But the more you stretch it, the more full and more bloated you become.
Okay.
So that's effectively, to become satisfied, you just need a plate which can, is the size of your own fist.
Yeah. No, I get that. I don't suppose
portion size is very important. You know.
Be honest. Mm. Go on, clench those fists. When you have your tea.
Yeah.
Your tea bigger than that, isn't it?
Well, my tea.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Really?
Yeah. I'm. Maybe I'm blessed. I don't know. I'm not a natural big eater. I don't like eating huge amounts. I'd rather have a few meals.
Not massively more, but a little bit more.
A little bit more, yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's your stomach empty, and then you fill it up. So if it's going to be, if you're getting to the size of a boxing glove, then you're getting a little bit on the bloated
that's
side.
That's a lot.
Exactly. That's so you can see the analogy. It will just get bigger. The more you push into it, the bag gets bigger and bigger, and it gets used to being big. So then after a while, your stomach will get stretched, and then you'll need to put more in it to fill it up.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Do you know what? That's probably the best thing. There's been a lot of things that we've discussed this lunchtime, but that's the one thing that maybe you take away with you.
Yeah.
Scientifically, that is the size of your stomach, your clenched fist.
Mm.
And you're putting stuff in it that if it's much, much bigger than that, then you're obviously stretching your stomach. That's, yeah. See, that to me, if you're conscious of that...
Yeah.
That cuts out, all the worries and the stresses. You just got to, and you'll feel, and I do. I think, right, I've had enough. And that's why whenever we have a meal, we always go for a walk, sort of 10-15 minutes afterwards, and walk it off, if you like. And we were out for 56 minutes last night doing a pacey walk, and heart rate up to 100, and but within 20 minutes, it was down to 59, something like that. Oh, I chilled right out, and so on, which is great. It's just what you want.
That's good. Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, when I go to bed, I'm not feeling like, oh, I've drank a lot, or I've eaten a lot, or whatever. I feel bloated. Mm. No, not at all.
That's
there are occasions. Just say for
when
instance,
you want to digest the gazelle.
Yeah.
find the nearest tree and digest the gazelle. Yeah.
There are times. you go out for a meal for a start, and that's probably still. I'm half and half with the habit control.
Yeah.
I still think, I've paid for it, so I'm eating it.
Yeah. Well, I've been known to have the starter as my main course. I have to explain it to the waiter that I want the starter, but I want it with everybody else when they have their main course, and they look at you very sort of like, yeah, but it's a starter. Yeah. And
see, I get that.
But I'd rather have a salad and something like a Thai fish cake or something with a bit of salad and a bit of dressing on it than a huge great meal with loads of potatoes and meat and stuff. So I like the meat. It's the potatoes.
Do you know what the mindset thing is? I think it's fascinating because I think the mindset from when we're very young is to have 3 meals a day, 3 square meals a day.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big supporter of, especially if you want to kind of reset your metabolism. It's not for everybody, but I do it a lot when I want to, especially if I'm getting ready for my competition that I did in the summer. Intermittent fasting. It's very popular at the moment. It's a bit of a sort of. It's a fad. It's not a fad diet because it's actually not eating, so it can't be a diet because it's actually not eating anything at all. But I think it is more in line with how we should function as human beings. Because if you think about what we did when we were early man, out on the plains, and we would get up in the morning, you wouldn't have anything to eat because you'd eaten it the night before. You would then go hunting for the gazelle. Yeah. You then go and, you know, catch the gazelle, and then you drag it back to the camp, and then that would be late afternoon, and then it would be then put on the fire and eaten, and then you'd go to sleep and digest the gazelle, and you get up in the morning and do it again. But in the morning, you wouldn't have anything in your stomach. And we, well, I think we've got into this sort of habit of the commercial aspect of breakfast being the most important meal of the day, and that it must be the minute you wake up. I think personally is wrong. And I think most people would function better if they actually push their first meal, the time they break their fast, that's why it's called breakfast, is breaking your fast further on in the day. Now, I've done a 24-hour fast before, and it is a quite a unique experience, the feeling you get when you haven't eaten anything and your body is using your body fat for energy.
Right.
You do get a very heightened sense of emotions, and your peripheral senses become very heightened, your colour becomes brighter, sound becomes louder. It's really quite, and you become very, you know, tuned into your sort of, that sounds weird, your hunter-gatherer sort of part of your you know, human function, and you become very focused and very driven, because your body is using your body fat for energy, because you need to go and hunt for some food, basically. So it needs to get you alert and ready to go and find something else to eat.
I've not tried that.
Yeah,
and I must admit, it kind of,
it's very
worries,
popular at the moment.
It worries me that you get to a point where you just, you get that point where you are, because you haven't eaten, you get all dizzy.
No, it doesn't. Most people get have the wrong impression of how your body functions. When you get what we call hungry, most people experience a grumbling tummy, don't they?
Yes.
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But that's not you hungry. That's not even close to you being hungry. That's you getting used to the timing of you eating your food on a regular basis. And your hormones get set for the time you normally have food. And your body then prepares itself on your body timings for when you are going to digest some food. And if you don't put any food in your stomach, there's a hormone called ghrelin, which effectively is an alarm clock hormone, which says it goes off and it starts grumbling in your tummy saying, we normally eat, can we have some food, we're ready to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've prepared the stomach for food and now we haven't got anything, so remember to eat. That's your stomach grumbling, that's not you hungry, that's your alarm clock saying you normally eat at this time, and you have to go past that and reset that timing.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. You know what, I'm going to give that a go. I'm going to give that a go, maybe, you know, certain days. I'm not going to do it when I'm working.
No, take it slow, first of all. I mean, I used to do 7 days a week, a 16-8 fast, which is 16 hours of not eating, which included 8 hours of sleep, which is good. So you do it from one night, the night before, to lunchtime the next day, 16 hours of no food at all. And then you've got an 8-hour feeding window.
Okay.
And where I'm not a big eater, I couldn't eat a great deal in 8 hours. So that was even more beneficial to me losing the weight that I wanted to lose.
It just makes sense, and I've always been bothered by the fact that we get up in the morning and something in us tells us breakfast, lunch, tea, you know, dinner, call it what you will. I mean, three square meals a day. And the one thing I have changed is I have my breakfast, me sour bread and me sausage and me egg, and then at lunchtime I'll have a banana. And that lasts me until 5 o'clock. By 5 o'clock, I am hungry.
Yeah.
And then we'll have our meal. And it kind of works for me.
You're empty.
I'm not empty.
You're not hungry. Hunger, I don't think many people, unless you've actually fasted for 24 hours, have experienced hunger.
Yeah.
Hunger is something that everybody calls it hunger. It's not. You just don't have any food in your stomach. You've got plenty of energy.
Yeah,
you know, the process for body fat production is there for energy stores when you need them in times of in times of need.
Yeah.
You know, when the food isn't plentiful, that's how the system works. We put down body fat for a reason, but nobody uses it for the right reason. We just keep on adding to it.
I'm gonna try and make some adjustments in it, because I've often thought we're governed by, you know, for some reason it's always been in our head, and you think, hang on, let's just try something different.
Yeah,
you know, it's a bit like why do we sleep upstairs?
I think that's from back in the day when we used to sleep in a tree. We're happier higher up as animals.
Yeah, but
you know, when we're looking down and the predators would be down on the ground.
See, that we ain't got any predators, you know. So why do we sleep upstairs?
Yeah.
You know, especially in summertime, it's hotter upstairs.
Yeah.
So you just think, oh, I'm going to change it around, and my wife panics because she says, one day I'm going to come home and I'm going to find that the house has been turned upside down, the bedroom's downstairs, the bed's been moved, my clothes have been put downstairs, and so on. And I think, well, let's try it.
So the next time you're asleep on your sofa.
Yeah.
And she wakes you up, you're just going to say you're getting in touch with your primal man, yeah, your early man. I'm getting in touch with early man.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's been fascinating. Honestly, it's been really, really fascinating. What's the one thing that you can take from this last hour, Connor?
Well, that bacon fat is actually quite healthy if you don't... but bacon fat... it's not responsible for body weight. It's just that overeating is responsible for it.
I love bacon. Don't eat too much bacon. But what they're saying is dietary fat, so fat on meat and those sort of things and cheese and stuff, is not the reason for you getting fat. It's the fact you eat too much food. That's why you get fat.
Mm. So makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely makes sense.
But I do love a bit of bacon.
So I love a bit of bacon. Do you know what? I used to have a bacon sandwich with about 8 rashers in, and now I have 2.
Right.
But I have an egg with it.
In your sour bread.
And some mushrooms in my sour bread,
And it
works. Yeah. That's a treat. Every Saturday and Sunday morning, that's what we have.
Yeah, lovely.
And I can't wait for this Saturday and Sunday. but, you know, we just have the basics between now and then. And there are times... What about yoghurt? I just want to talk about yoghurt, because my wife's been on the yoghurt the last time.
As long as it's not low fat.
Right, okay.
I'm not a big fan of low-fat products. Low-fat products have got fat taken out, which we've just told everybody is not bad for you from a health perspective. You need good fats in your diet. But if they take fat out, they have to put something back in, and they put chemicals and sugar back in.
Oh, right, okay, I'll pass that on.
Because the fat makes it taste nice. You take the fat out, it doesn't taste very nice.
No,
so
that's true.
I would always have full-fat everything, like, you know, remember when we had the butter in the coffee? Yeah, the bulletproof, that's full fat butter in the coffee.
Hey, and, look, we've run out of time. I'll pass it on, but thank you for that. You're going to come back at some point. We'll set up a date for that. Mm-hmm. And give us website details.
Yeah, www.thefitmindsetcode.com, or you can get me on Facebook or Instagram at Fit Mindset Code.
Lovely. And thank you, Danny, for what you've done for me, because honestly it's
no, thank you for letting me
look at me,
giving me the platform to talk about what I like talking about. And well done to you as well, because I think you've done amazingly well.
Thank you. Anytime, you know where we are.
Yeah.
Stand by, Laura, John, Archie, on the way.
FM 104.6.